This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, Great Lakes Echo commentator Gary Wilson tells us why he thinks the federal investigation into the Flint water crisis isn't moving fast enough. But first, Western Michigan University has tuition rates set for the coming academic year. They also have an operating budget for the new fiscal year. There were plenty of other things going on at WMU, and we're going to talk about at least some of them with Western Michigan University President John Dunn. Thank you for being here.
Gordon, thank you very much. It's nice to be with you and your many listeners. Thank you.
We're also joined today by Madison Bennett of the Kalamazoo Gazette.
Hi.
Thanks for being with us again. And Battle Creek Enquirer reporter Sophia Merchant.
Thanks for having me.
And Sophia, you have the first question for John Dunn.
Sure. So I know that you guys are in the middle of a teach-out agreement with Miller College. How is that playing out? And do you guys have more plans to expand in Battle Creek?
Thank you very much. You're correct. The Robert Miller College, we've been working closely with the administration and leadership there, most importantly, to make sure that good options are available for the students who are impacted or affected by that decision. From all accounts, that has gone very well, both from the Miller perspective as well as from Western Michigan University. We continue to work closely with the students, make sure they get good advising, and that those transitions are handled in a way that will really meet their needs. With respect to future, of course, we are expanding in Battle Creek with the addition to the Aviation College, and the aviation enrollment is continuing to increase. We're very pleased about that. There's a phenomenal need for an increased number of pilots and also people who maintain those aircrafts, as well as management at the airport. So I think the signs are very clear, very close, that we will continue to have not only a strong presence there, but even an increasing presence in Battle Creek.
Are there any plans to expand maybe other programs besides aviation in Battle Creek?
We have done that in the past, and we're always very open to doing that, including working with corporate partners there to, in fact, provide programs within the corporate structure that would be specific to the needs of the employees and their current functions and jobs and responsibilities. And as you know, we've done an MBA program there as well, and those have at times been well received in terms of enrollment and other times not as well received. But we're always open to that and would not hesitate in a heartbeat to make sure that we have more deliverables there, assuming that we have individuals that want to enroll and find that to be desirable for their own professional advancement.
In terms of Miller College, how many students are we talking about, and what's sort of the timeline here? When do you want to have that all sort of wrapped up?
Well, I think we're getting very close to having it wrapped up right now in terms of the advising for the students. We want to make sure that they can sustain their program of study without losing any time. You know, we're still talking between 100 and 200 students. It's not a huge impact, but it is a huge impact if you're one of those 100 or 200 students. It's about you and your life and your desire to continue your education. And from the beginning, our goal and our commitment was to make sure that we were there to be supportive and to do everything we can to help those students. The Higher Learning Commission has now acknowledged the teach-out, and we're in really good shape there, so we're pleased about that.
Madison?
I have a few questions about the BTR park. I was wondering if you were still on track with construction starting in the fall 2016?
The Business Technology Research Park, what we call Phase 2, which has been very successful, by the way, as you know, and we're full there, so we will expand at some time into the what's called the Orchard property. We continue to monitor that very carefully in terms of all the appropriate due diligence with soil samples and all of those kinds of things. So whether we will be totally on time with that schedule, that ebbs a little bit dependent upon as we go through all the various steps of due diligence. So it could be a little bit delayed. I'm not sure what the latest is on that, Madison.
Do you have a date that you want to start work there?
As soon as possible. Yeah, I'm sorry to be flip about that. But yeah, obviously, there's a real substantive and significant need to get after that. But at the same time, we want to make sure we do it right, that we are thoughtful about the variety of species that are there, any impact on the environment, how we handle that, in a way that's consistent with the values of the university. We're one of the most sustainable universities in the country, been recognized many times for that. And so when we talk about doing development there, we want to do it carefully, thoughtfully, and with all due consideration to the environment.
How's the reaction been from the community lately?
It's been quiet. The response, I think, will always be that whatever we do there, make sure we do it with the same care and thoughtfulness that we did the first, the BTR Park. I think most people who drive through the BTR Park today marvel a little bit about how well that was done. And, you know, all the way from wastewater management to looking at more of a natural environment that still accommodates the needs of students and various industries and businesses. So, you know, I'm very pleased about that. I think it's a great compliment to those who preceded me in how they did that and the work that went on there. We'll do no less than that in the second phase.
So being, you know, one of the most sustainable universities, do you think that puts a little pressure on?
Always. You know, everything we do, if you look at Heritage Hall, formerly East Hall, you know, our aspiration there is for platinum LEED certified, the highest LEED certification you can have. We took one of the buildings on campus that was probably the draftiest building. You know, you could spend a lot of money trying to heat that thing and made it into one of the most really efficient in terms of energy consumption. So we're proud of that. That's what we do here, and we do it well.
Let's talk a little bit about the tuition increase approved at the last Board of Trustees meeting. You settled at 4.19%. The state said you could go up to 4.2%. So can you just take us through how Western ended up where it did on tuition increase?
Well, actually, the state started out at 4.8 and modified that based on new revenue projections. And the revenue was still up, but it was not up as much as the governor and others had projected. So that led them to reassess what they thought should be the tuition adjustment increase for the universities. And that's based on what also happened in terms of the CPI. The original CPI was at 2.4. 2.4 twice is 4.8.
Consumer price index.
Right.
Okay.
Consumer price. Yeah, thank you. And so now when that adjusted to 2.1, that led to the 4.2. And so the rules are that as long as you stay within that cap of 4.2, our goal is still to provide the very best we can for our student population. And we're one of the universities that has yet to return to what our 2011 actual base adjustment from the state was. We've never gotten back to that point. We took a 15% reduction in 2011. We're still not back to that level. Even though the governor has indicated his commitment and desire to do so, we still lag. So we're a good university in the sense that we understand the rules. We understand what the regulations are. Our trustees were thoughtful, and I think we presented a good case to them about why we needed to go to 4.19, and they supported that unanimously. So I'm happy about that, very pleased about the outcome of that.
I mean, I'm just wondering about picking that number. And a hundredth of a percent, it doesn't sound like very much. And I'm wondering, was that something that there's a formula where you said, this is what we need precisely? Was it a way of saying we are doing our very best to stay under that cap?
Yeah, what we need is actually more than that. But again, we wanted to be responsive and thoughtful, and we adhered to what was the request from the governor's office. Now, we could have gone over that, and the trustees were aware of that, but you do so at some risk in terms of loss of some other funding and metrics that are used to provide other sources of funding, including the money that we would have had for Battle Creek for the enhancement to our aviation program there. So, you know, we factored all of that into it. Now, remember, out of all of this, of the 15 public universities, we're still number 8, meaning that there are 7 that are higher than we are. So, you know, this university has done a good job over time of being as thoughtful and as considerate as possible. And kudos to our those who preceded me and to the current model that we're on right now.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We're speaking with Western Michigan University President John Dunn. Also with us today, Madison Bennett of the Kalamazoo Gazette and also Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Sophia Merchant. Sophia.
I wanted to ask you about early college programs. They're becoming more increasingly popular, at least in the Calum County area. The four Battle Creek area districts are looking at setting them up. I know there's one at Quincy. And because we're talking about revenue streams, the early college program funnels more kids, hopefully, into community colleges, getting some credits there. You know, from a four-year university's perspective, do you see that as just, you know, like any expansion of opportunity for kids is great, or does it take away from your possible revenue stream?
No, I think that, the focus needs to be on the students and the populations we're all trying to serve. And, you know, Western Michigan University has a very strong record, actionable things that we've done to connect well with community colleges, to honor students and families that make that choice to go to a community college. Examples of that would be our reverse transfer degree program, which we have signed with every community college in the state of Michigan and now one in the state of Illinois. Basically, that program means that if a student comes to the university without having completed their Associate of Art or Associate of Science degree, that we will transfer credit back at the request of the student to the community college so that the community college can acknowledge that student as a graduate of their community college. That's good for those communities. It's good for those students because it presents a higher educated population, and there are some economic indicators that suggest that corporate leaders may look at communities with a more highly educated population in a more desirable way as a location spot. So that works to everybody's benefit. Western Michigan University has become increasingly an upper division university and a graduate student university. We will always have a true new entering freshman into our university, and we honor that and respect that, and we do that very well. But the reality is that we need to encourage more and more young people to continue on the path to education. And even though, you know, I sit as president of a higher education institution, a four-year and a graduate school all the way through the doctoral program, I'm also very, very interested in encouraging young students who might want to pursue technical fields, welding, plumbing, electricity. We need good, smart, bright people at various levels through good technical programs, through good community college, two-year programs that lead to good outcomes and help students be successful. And, of course, we will always be what we are, and we do very well with what we do, and we'll be happy about that. So, you know, I think it's about all of the education sector working together to be as responsive and supportive as possible.
Let me ask you about another issue involving community colleges. There is some legislation in Lansing that could lead to an expansion of the programs that community colleges can offer four-year degrees in. Now, you have said many times on this radio station that you didn't want to get into turf wars, that you wanted to do what's best for students. Is allowing more four-year degrees at community colleges best for students?
I'm not convinced that that's a desirable alternative for a variety of reasons. One is that we're all sort of challenged with respect to resources and dollars to do everything that we want to do. It was not that long ago that some had raised a question, do we have too many universities? Okay, so do we want to have not only 15 public universities, but do we want to add another 28? Okay, so, you know, I think we need to be very, very careful and very thoughtful about that. Community colleges also rely heavily on property tax as a support. So, you know, I'm not absolutely convinced that that's in the best interest of communities and property taxpayers and others who are supporting. And you know, I'd like to have access to a property tax base for the university, and that's not the model that we have. So, you know, we want to work closely with community colleges. We want to help students in any way and every way we can. We deliver more and more programs for them on the community college campuses. I think there are far better ways to do this and much, much better models than saying open the door and everybody offers a four-year degree.
And if that was to come to pass, that, that community colleges could offer more four-year degrees, could there reach a point where now you're in competition for students, and therefore some of the partnerships you have may not look as desirable to Western Michigan University or to the community colleges and other universities and community colleges as well?
Well, I think relationships, I think what you're proposing is, could relationships become strained over that? I suspect that that's one option and one outcome. I also believe in sort of the reality of things happen. And you can kick the dirt and you know, have your bad day about all of that. But then at the end of the day, you got to get on with it, move on, and that's a new reality. And so I'm quite convinced that thoughtful, careful leaders at all levels would find a way to move on. It would create different models, different interactions. What those might be, who knows?
The Homer Stryker MD School of Medicine has now been granted candidate status for accreditation with the Higher Learning Commission. I think from the moment the school opened, we've kind of expected that this was going to happen, but how big a step is it?
It's huge. The first step was just receiving under the Liaison Committee on Medical Education, the LCME, was getting that preliminary accreditation. We've now moved from preliminary to provisional. We have one more step to go, and we'll reach that. But that was the really huge step to demonstrate that the talent was here, the will was here, that the finances were in place, and that we could make this happen. So even now when I am downtown, and I'm very happy with the location of the medical school, the vitality that's brought, the vibrancy to the downtown, the number of people moving in, the talent that we're attracting, this thing is huge, and it's going to be even a greater and greater impact on our community in a desirable way 10, 15, 20 years from now.
Do you have a number in mind in terms of growth? I mean, you know, do you think the number of students is going to be significantly more 10 years from now?
We have, from the beginning, you know, we started small. We admitted 54 in the first class. In the second class, we went to 60. This year, we'll bring in 72 more. And then the following year, to 84. So our initial thought was 84 times 4 would be the size of the medical school. We have always scaled that we could go to 100 students per class. But again, our thought from the beginning was that we wanted to be a medical school of distinction, one that is not trying to be the largest or the biggest, but really to be one of the most innovative, as we are in the United States. We're already getting great kudos for the innovative nature of the curriculum, the building itself, the design, the quality of students attracted. So we're really pleased about this.
Western Michigan University President John Dunn, as always, thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you.
We also want to thank Madison Bennett of the Kalamazoo Gazette and Sophia Merchant of the Battle Creek Inquirer.